Chapter 31, Personal Experiences.
Early experience in treating pneumonia. In the winter of 1864, my Willie was suddenly and violently brought down with lung fever. We had just buried our oldest son with this disease and were very anxious in regard to Willie, fearing that he too might die. We decided that we would not send for a physician, but do the best we could with him ourselves by the use of water, and entreat the Lord in behalf of the child. We called in a few who had faith to unite their prayers with ours. We had a sweet assurance of God's presence and blessing. The next day, Willie was very sick. He was wandering. He did not seem to see or hear me when I spoke to him. His heart had no regular beat, but was in a constant agitated flutter. We continued to look to God in his behalf, and to use water freely upon his head, and a compress constantly upon his lungs, and soon he seemed rational as ever. He suffered severe pain in his right side, and could not lie upon it for a moment. This pain we subdued with cold water compresses, varying the temperature of the water according to the degree of the fever. We were very careful to keep his hands and feet warm. We expected the crisis would come the seventh day. We had but little rest during his sickness, and were obliged to give him up into others' care the fourth and fifth nights. My husband and myself the fifth day felt very anxious. The child raised fresh blood and coughed considerably. My husband spent much time in prayer. We left our child in careful hands that night. Before retiring, my husband prayed long and earnestly. Suddenly, his burden of prayer left him, and it seemed as though a voice spoke to him and said, "Go lie down. I will take care of the child." I had retired sick and could not sleep for anxiety for several hours. I felt pressed for breath. Although sleeping in a large chamber, I arose and opened the door into a large hall and was at once relieved and soon slept. I dreamed that an experienced physician was standing by my child, watching every breath, with one hand over his heart and with the other feeling his pulse. He turned to us and said, "The crisis has passed. He has seen his worst night. He will now come up speedily, for he has not the injurious influence of drugs to recover from. Nature has nobly done her work to rid the system of impurities." I related to him my worn-out condition, my pressure for breath, and the relief obtained by opening the door. Said he, "That which gave you relief will also relieve your child. He needs air. You have kept him too warm." The heated air coming from a stove is injurious, and were it not for the air coming in at the crevices of the windows, would be poisonous and destroy life. Stove heat destroys the vitality of the air and weakens the lungs. The child's lungs have been weakened by the room being kept too warm. Six persons are debilitated by disease and need all the invigorating air that they can bear to strengthen the vital organs to resist disease. And yet, in most cases, air and light are excluded from the sick room at the very time when most needed, as though dangerous enemies. This dream and my husband's experience was a consolation to us both. We found in the morning that our boy had passed a restless night. He seemed to be in a high fever until noon. Then the fever left him, and he appeared quite well, except weak. He had eaten but one small cracker through his 5 days' sickness. He came up rapidly and has had better health than he has had for several years before. This experience is valuable to us. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4, First Section, pages 151, 153, 1864. The Restoration of James White. From a statement made April 13, 1902, at a council meeting at Elms Haven, St. Helena, California. Many years ago, 1865, While my husband was bearing heavy responsibilities in Battle Creek, the strain began to tell on him. His health failed rapidly. Finally, he broke down in mind and body and was unable to do anything. My friend said to me, "Mrs. White, your husband cannot live." I determined to remove him to a place more favorable for his recovery. His mother said, "Ellen, you must remain and take care of your family." "Mother," I replied, "I will never allow that masterly brain to fail entirely. I will work with God, and God will work with me to save my husband's brain." In order to obtain means for our journey, I pulled up my rag carpets and sold them. With the money secured by the sale of the carpets, I bought a covered wagon and prepared for the journey, placing in the wagon a mattress for Father to lie on. Accompanied by Willie, a mere lad 11 years of age, we started for Wright, Michigan. While on the journey, Willie tried to put the bits into the mouth of one of the horses, but found that he could not. I said to my husband, "Put your hand on my shoulder and come and put the bits in." He said that he did not see how he could. "Yes, you can," I replied. "Get right up and come." He did so and succeeded in putting the bits in. Then he knew that he would have to do it the next time, too. Constantly, I kept my husband working at such little things. I would not allow him to remain quiet, but tried to keep him active. This is the plan that physicians and helpers in our sanitarium should pursue. Lead the patients along step by step, step by step, keeping their minds so busily occupied that they have no time to brood over their own condition. Physical and mental activity encouraged. Often brethren came to us for counsel. My husband wanted to see no one. He much preferred to go into another room when company came, but usually before he could realize that anyone had come, I brought the visitor before him and would say, "Husband, here is a brother who has come to ask a question, and as you can answer it much better than I can, I have brought him to you." Of course, he could not help himself then. He had to remain in the room and answer the question. In this way, and in many other ways, I made him exercise his mind. If he had not been made to use his mind, in a little while it would have completely failed. Daily, my husband went out for a walk. In the winter, a terrible snowstorm came, and Father thought he could not go out in the storm and snow. I went to Brother Root and said, "Brother Root, have you a spare pair of boots?" "Yes," he answered. "I should be glad to borrow them this morning," I said. Putting on the boots and starting out, I tracked a quarter of a mile in the deep snow. On my return, I asked my husband to take a walk. He said he could not go out in such a weather. "Oh, yes, you can," I replied. "Surely you can step in my tracks." He was a man who had great respect for women, and when he saw my tracks, he thought that if a woman could walk in that snow, he could. That morning, he took his usual walk. In the spring, there were fruit trees to be set out and garden to be made. "Willie," I said, "please buy 3 hoes and 3 rakes. Be sure to buy 3 of each. When he brought them to me, I told him to take one of the hoes and Father another. Father objected, but took one. Taking one myself, we began work, and although I blistered my hands, I led them in the hoeing. Father could not do much, but he went through the motions. It was by such methods as these that I tried to cooperate with God in restoring my husband to health, and oh, how the Lord blessed us. I always took my husband with me when I went out driving, and I took him with me when I went to preach at any place. I had a regular circuit of meetings. I could not persuade him to go into the desk while I preached. Finally, after many, many months, I said to him, 'Now, my husband, you are going into the desk today.' He did not want to go, but I would not yield. I took him up into the desk with me. That day he spoke to the people. Although the meeting house was filled with unbelievers, for half an hour I could not refrain from weeping. My heart was overflowing with joy and gratitude. I knew that the victory had been gained." Rewarded for persistent effort. After 18 months of constant cooperation with God in the effort to restore my husband to health, I took him home again. Presenting him to his parents, I said, "Father, mother, here is your son." "Ellen," said his mother, "you have no one but God and yourself to thank for this wonderful restoration. Your energies have accomplished it." After his recovery, my husband lived for a number of years, during which time he did the best work of his life. Did not those added years of usefulness repay me manyfold for the 18 months of painstaking care? I have given you this brief recital of personal experience in order to show you that I know something about the use of natural means for the restoration of the sick. God will work wonders for every one of us if we work in faith, acting as we believe that when we cooperate with Him, He is ready to do His part. I desire to do everything I can to lead my brethren to pursue a sensible course in order that their efforts may be the most successful. Many who have gone down into the grave might today be living if they had cooperated with God. Let us be sensible men and women in regard to these matters. Manuscript 50, 1902.